Happy Saturday. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. It's unbelievable. Another week has gone by, and a tumultuous week in many different respects. And I know a number of you have written me, and you want to know what happened with the cat. You know, the cat I talked about in last week's show? Well, the kitty is still here. And for the first time in my life, I actually bought cat food and kitty litter. I'm a dog person. A Newfoundland. 200-pound big black Newfies. That's what I like. But the cat's still here. Now, the question is, should I keep the cat here? Should the cat remain at the ranch? Why don't you drop me a line, post it on the website, post it on Facebook, and by the way, get your friends to like the show on Facebook, www.facebook.com/ontherightside, and let me know your opinion. Should the cowboy keep the cat? Wow, I would have never thought I would have been asking that question of my audience or of myself. Well, today's show, we're going to cover a number of subjects. The big subject for today, which will be the last, literally, three quarters of the show, revolves around the plant that posed the Muslim question to Donald Trump and the outrage of the left over Ben Carson's comments about a Muslim should not be president. And I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. I'm going to run through, I have a list of stuff to go over with you in that vein that will make your eyes pop. Once again, I'm not sure it's all been put together ever before in one. It'll probably take me 10 or 15 minutes just rattling it out. Rat-a-tat-tat. Snippet, 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 snippet. And then I'm going to ask you a question, and we'll see what your answer is. But I do want to point, out that what you see happening in the left's rising up to defend the right of Muslims to be president, and I suppose practice Sharia law, you are seeing that unholy alliance between the left and radical Islam. And I talked about this 6 or 9 months ago in a show. My producer is going to have the link in my write-up below. And a number of very interesting articles, too, including ISIS's nuclear ambitions. Their ambitions to cleanse the planet using nuclear weapons of heretics. You know, Iran has a slightly different bent. They want the 12th Imam to come. They're a different strain, a different sect of Shiite. And they believe the 12th Imam can only come if there is a Megadon. But nonetheless, I mean, these are... I think we ought to elect one of them as president. Maybe the Ayatollah should join the race and run against Hillary. What do you think? You can answer that when you tell me what you think about the cowboy keeping the cat. But before we get into that, and you will find it scintillating, this rat-a-tat-tat of stuff I have to share with you. Before we get into that, we're going to talk just a little bit about the economy and normalcy bias. And I got some facts that are going to curl your hair. We're going to talk about Social Security. And for those of you nearing the Social Security age, those of you who might be on disabilities, unfortunately, and others of you who are the recipients of Social Security checks for which you paid into the system your entire life, you're going to find this fascinating and frightening. And by the way, irrevocable. This is not made up stuff. I have facts and figures for you. So, without further ado, let's start with the economy, shall we? This economy is in deep caca, folks. I don't care what Barry says out in the Rose Garden, or what his economic advisors say, or what Paul Krugman, progressive columnist that he is for the New York Times, says, or what Janet Yellen, who's the head of the Federal Reserve, what she says to try and stem this cratering that's going on in the markets. And by the way, the cratering is not just the stock market. That's all you hear about. Commodities, absolutely rock bottom. Rock bottom. Housing starts down. The sales of existing homes fluctuating slightly up to slightly down, but not growing, despite a growing population and a growing demographic of buyers. There's a really interesting article. I'm going to talk about it next week, about how we have become a nation of renters and how that has far-reaching effects on the type of properties that people are looking for, what's good, what's bad, where you ought to put your money in terms of real estate and where you ought not to. And I'll be talking about some other really interesting things next week too, but let me stick to this show. So, the economy, folks, the reason that Janet Yellen and the Fed did not raise interest rates, remember, we've had about zero interest rates, and some parts of Europe have negative interest rates. I did a show on this too, in fact, two of them, where banks, like in Norway and Denmark, for instance, are paying people to take loans. You heard that right. They're paying people monthly, reverse interest, to take a loan. Conversely, they are charging anybody who has money in the bank a fee to have money in the bank. Now, the United States did not hit that trough, but we are at zero, literally zero interest rates. Everybody thought that Janet Yellen was going to raise interest rates. You know, the FOMC, the Federal Reserve, the Fed Open Market Committee. They did not. And the only reason that the Federal Reserve or any central bank of any country, Western country, does not raise interest rates is because you have a very weak economy. And I know that people feed you all this hype and all this stuff. I'll be nice and say stuff. There are other words you could use. For their own little ends, so they can, so Wall Street can milk some more money out of you, so that the GE can get you to buy a refrigerator, so, you know, GM can get you to buy an Obama car. I mean, everybody has their reasons, but it's not the truth. Get yourself out of the normalcy bias. I don't know how many of you listen to Sean Hannity. I listen to him from time to time, and you know, sometimes I can't listen to the whole show, and sometimes he's brilliant. Brilliant. But he, every night, he goes over, you know, 47 million people on food stamps, 50 million people in poverty, 96 million out of the war. These are huge numbers, folks. We're a country of 350 million. And of that 350 million, there's tens of millions who are too old to work, incapable of working, and there's tens of millions too young to work. So when you talk about 96 million people out of the workforce, you're talking about 96 million out of the central chunk of the population. And I would dare say, if somebody ever wanted to do the stat on it, that 96 million is somewhere between one half and 40%, 40 to 50% of the entire working age, capable of working population of this country. Now, try and find that stat anywhere, but it's just math. You can find the real stats at realstatistics.com. I've given my listeners that website countless times. Real inflation stats, real unemployment stats. You can even go, while Barry is lying to you and his economic people are lying to you about a 5.2 or 5.3 or whatever, who cares, percent unemployment rate, go to realstatistics.com. Go to the Department of Labor and type in U6 unemployment, U6. This is the Department of Labor's own real unemployment rate. Would you believe 11%? And listen, that's 11% for, you know, young white guys. It gets really scary when you get into minorities, when you get into people in the inner cities. 24%, 27%, 32%. These are huge numbers. And as these numbers swell, the government spends more and more. As the government spends more and more, we go into deeper and deeper debt. As we go into deeper and deeper debt, the government sucks more money out of private enterprise, which means there's less jobs. Do you see the round robin here, the circular firing squad that the progressives, i.e. communists, have established here as an economic norm? On purpose. Not because they're stupid. It's intentional. We've talked about that too. Now, you know, I think y'all know who Caterpillar is. I mean, cat bulldozers and backhoes and excavators and trucks. I mean, Cat is a big deal. They supply heavy equipment to more than 100 countries. Tens of thousands of huge constructors all over the world. They are an icon of American industry. An icon. I mean, way up on the pedestal. So they are the giant of the world of heavy equipment. And obviously, what do people use heavy equipment for? To mine, to produce, to move resources, to build. I mean, basically, you can't really run a modern economy without heavy equipment. Dump trucks, loaders, bulldozers, turbines, locomotives, generators, and engines. I mean, you can find it at mines, at ports, at construction sites everywhere around the world. So, one day ago, September 24th, I guess that's 2 days ago now. September 24th, the chairman of CAT came out and said they will have to lay off as many as 10,000 workers in 2018. They're going to have to close or consolidate several manufacturing plants. They're trying to save $1.5 billion a year in costs. They also said their sales would miss previous targets by $1 billion in 2015. $1 billion. And that they're likely to drop an additional 5% in 2016. So that means that the sales of Caterpillar, this stalwart, this bulwark of American industry, 90-year-old company that has never had its sales drop because of the global expansion that's been going on literally since, you know, World War II. That means sales will be falling from year-ago levels for the fourth consecutive year in a row for this company. That's the first time it's ever happened in the company's 90-year history. The CEO, his name is Doug Obelhelman. And I apologize to Doug if I mispronounce his name. Obelhelman. Quote, "We're facing a convergence of challenging marketplace conditions in key regions and industry sectors, namely in mining and energy. While we've already made substantial adjustments as these market conditions have emerged, we are taking an even more decisive actions now. We don't make these decisions lightly, but I'm confident," blah, 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 you know, what a CEO would say to shareholders. Okay. Do you know who else is seeing earnings and business drop? FedEx. Think about that. People are sending less because they're buying less. Companies are shipping less because people are buying less. Hewlett-Packard, which was kind of on its feet, is now forecasting, you know, drops in sales and revenues. And that's because these companies have built up their inventories to sell, except that the demand for durable goods by you and me and grandma down the road is sinking. Durable goods orders sank 2% in August alone. That's 2%. So, then companies have inventories. They have to liquidate the inventories. They have to cut costs, which means jobs. If this is happening to Caterpillar and FedEx and hundreds of other companies, this is a very, very weak economy. And I might add, a very weak economy in Western Europe, and of course China has its problems. So the Asian markets are down too. Why am I bringing this up today? I mean, oh my God, he's talking about economic statistics, yuck! Because it all plays into what I've been trying to tell you here for 2 years. And what I really hammered home over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, if you did not listen to those shows, please do so. The security, the financial security, the physical security, and the security of your children's children's future lives are at stake. You owe it to them to think outside the box, step outside the box, discard that normalcy, that normalcy bias, which all these clowns and liars and ideologues and business junkies lay on your head every day. Everything's okay. Go out and get that TV. It's not okay. It's not even close to okay. And that doesn't even include the debt overhang of $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities and soon to be $20 trillion in primary debt. By the way, did you know the debt of the whole world is only about $300-350 trillion? Think about that number for a minute. I mean, you're a quarter of the way, hell, you're a third of the way to quadrillion. Nobody can pay this back. Not us, not Europe, not China. Nobody can pay this back. And I think we all know what happens when somebody who owes money can't pay it back. And we certainly have seen what happens when a whole bunch of people who owe each other money, none of them can pay it back. Unpleasant things happen, and they affect you. Now, I've given you kind of the business deal. I mean, very broad brush and quick. Let me give you some other facts and stats on this vibrant, growing, wonderful economy that Barry said is the envy of the world. He just said that last week. It's the envy of the world. 75% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck with essentially zero savings. That's a study by Bankrate. The labor force participation rate, I talked about that a little bit. That's the percentage of able-bodied people who are actually working, has fallen every year since 2007. And is at the lowest level since the 1970s. The source is the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. You think things are normal, folks? You think things are good? You think those lies that they're telling us are all the truth? The people on food stamps has doubled since Barack Hussein Obama took office. And half of all children born today, the day that you're listening to this show, will be on food stamps at some point in their life. 50% of all children born in America today, September 26, 2015, and every day before this and after this, will be on food stamps at some point in their lifetime. Does that sound like normal to you? Oh, and since we're so normal and we're the envy of the world and we're doing so great, think about this. 49% of Americans are receiving benefits from at least one government program every single month. That percentage jumps up if you go to benefits that are received quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. This is just monthly benefits. 49%. You think that's normal? You think this economy is rocking and rolling? Did you know that 52% of all Americans, right? 52% make less than $30,000 a year. I mean, that is, that's just a mind-boggling statistic. And it's really mind-boggling when you figure that that is anywhere from 2 to 3 times what most other people on the planet make. If you think things are normal, folks, I talked about the Federal Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen not raising interest rates, trying to tell us everything is cool, blah, 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 blah. Nothing to see here. Move right along. Did you know that up to just recently, and because they stopped is why the markets are having jitters? Well, that's because the markets are, the markets have no foundation on them to begin with. But what created the current jitters is that the Federal Reserve was purchasing up to 70% of the bonds issued by the U.S. Treasury, basically creating money out of thin air, backed by the printing press. I've done a load of shows on the reserve currency and the unique position it puts us in, which is basically printing the money to create our own debt and then printing the money to service our own debt. Wouldn't that be cool? You just go down to your basement and you print off the dollars to make your mortgage payment. And your mortgage are dollars you printed off to pay to yourself. I mean, you think about it. It's mind-boggling. 70% of our bonds, you know, the government gets tax revenues and then it sells bonds and it sells treasuries. That's how it brings its money in. That's its working capital, which is, of course, spent so wisely. Like transvestite operations for the military. I mean, let's not take care of the vets. Let's make sure deserters and weirdos get transvestite operations. What, you know, I mean, please, transgender. My producer's shaking her head at me, wagging her finger. Tis, tis, tis. Not PC. Well, I don't care if it's PC, it's the truth. This is a world gone upside down. And I might add, a very disappointing military. I never thought I'd say that. And I don't mean the men and women who serve in the military. I think they're great. I'm talking about the morons who are leading it. Since Obama managed to get rid of the top 200 generals who gave him static. And has now replaced them with a bunch of political lackeys. I would hate to see what would happen if we suddenly had to gear up in a defensive posture against a sneak attack. It would be damn scary. How about the too big to fail banks? You've all heard about them, the banksters. And you know, they are banksters. And I'm not down on business, folks. I'm down on crony capitalism. I'm down on unfair advantage. I'm down on lying to achieve a gain. You know, like you can keep your doctor. The banks that got bailed out in 2007, you remember that whole mess? They are now 37% larger than they were in 2007. And I told you about this 2-3 weeks ago in a show that talked about debt. Please listen to it. Please listen to it. Derivatives, which is what really cratered these banks that were too big to fail, who are now 37% larger. Derivatives, splitting all this crap up and sending it out to all like poison pills throughout the world. Derivatives, which almost brought down the system, are now 300% of what they were in 2007 and 2008. All right, you know, the money that's printed out of thin air, I think we can all agree, is funny money, not real money. And that's why China and Russia sense weakness, never mind in the Oval Office, but in this economy and why they are attacking the dollar, which exacerbates all the things I'm talking about. So, in 1810, do you know that our debt was zero? Zero. Do you know that our debt remained pretty much at or near zero until approximately 1929, when it began to rise gradually until it hit $1 trillion in about 1998-1999. And now it's $20 trillion and growing. And that doesn't count on funded liabilities. The Federal Reserve monetary base, remember I've talked to you about inflation. What is inflation? Inflation is not the increase in the value of goods and services, your TV, the mechanic who's working on your car, whatever. It is the decrease in value of the purchasing agent, i.e. the dollar. And the more there is of anything, the less each of those anythings are worth, right? If you have 1 million widgets, each widget's going to be worth a lot less than if you have 10 widgets. You can apply that basic market principle to anything and everything, including a currency. So in approximately 2003-2004, the Federal Reserve, which had been basically conjuring money, was at $1 trillion. I want you to know that now they, in terms of conjured money, they are now at $3.5 trillion. Like the debt, the amount of conjured, printed, materialized out of thin air. Create the debt with conjured dollars, service the debt with conjured dollars. Has more than tripled in the last 8 years. You think that's normal? What would you think if your credit card bills tripled in the last 8 years? How about if your mortgage tripled in the last 8 years? How about if your car payment tripled in the last 8 years? We won't talk about health care because it has tripled. Thank you, Barry. So, I want you to know that none of this stuff is normal. It's not normal. And if you are ensconced in your normalcy bias, you're in for a very rude, rude awakening. And I could keep going. I could give you other facts and stats which will just blow your mind. One of the things which is coming, folks, is for a host of reasons. You're probably going to see a stabilization and another dip in oil prices, but it's going to be temporary. You notice that there's now a bill in Congress to allow the export of oil, which, by the way, has never been allowed before, other than waivers that Obama secretly gave his crony buddies, while on one hand he's blocking the Keystone Pipeline and kowtowing to the environmental groups, which give he and his Democratic progressives lots of money. He okayed the first exports of oil from this country last year. And by the first, I mean since like the 70s. There's a law against it. That law is about to be changed. In many ways, it'll be good for the United States. But there's going to be a glut of oil from Iran, because of our great nuclear deal, from increased production in American oil fields. Yes. That's right, I'm talking to my producer right now. That's correct. There are less drill rigs. There's like 100 operating right now. There were 350 operating 6 months ago. But what has happened is, good old capitalism, because the price is down, independents and wildcatters have had to find ways to get more oil for the same drilling dollar, to be more efficient in bringing oil to market. And they've done that, many of them, not all of them. So production, American oil production, even though drill rigs are down, wells are down, has increased over the last 3 or 4 months. Eventually, Saudi Arabia and the OPEC countries are going to figure out that no matter how much they glut the market, the American independent oil man is not going away. Nor is American oil reserves, natural gas reserves, and liquids reserves. And now we're going to start exporting it, i.e. competition, direct competition to OPEC. So I think you're going to see the price of oil go down, but then I think you're going to see it go right back up. And my projection is, right now it's about 40, 45. It got down as low as like high 30s. You can see it at the pump. My projections are you're going to see $75 oil, at least, within the next 6 to 9 months, which of course is going to drive up gas prices, which is going to affect your pocketbook. Time to start planning for that. The other thing is that inventories, you know, you drill oil, you bring oil out of the ground, natural gas, any fossil fuel, and it's stored until there is a demand, number one, and number two, a way to get it to market, and number three, a market that will absorb it. And inventories are way down. They were way up. Like January 15th to March 15th. And then in May 15th, they started to drop. And now, over the average of the, from May 15th to September 15th, it's a net negative inventory. And what did we just talk about when it comes to currencies? What there is less of is worth more. When you have a negative inventory in the oil sector, prices must go up. Even if they are temporarily blunted in their rise by more oil from Iran and greater production. Anyway, I bring this up because it's going to be a financial shock to you. I mean, Americans are kind of weird. We get used to $5 gas and we get used to $2 gas. But when gas goes from two whatever to four whatever over the next year, you better have it in your budget. Now, let's talk about Social Security, because I'm kind of chomping at the bit here to get into whole Muslim question, whether a Muslim should be president of the United States. Oh my, I can't wait to get into that segment. All right, Social Security beneficiaries, if you're on disability, expect your benefits to drop about 17% in 2017. There's a bill that's now been introduced by, of course, Xavier Becerra from California, because California knows best, you know. It's free everything out there. Free love and free money and free health and free housing and free, free, free. The only payment you have to make is your vote. Anyway, his bill would roll the OASI and the DI, in other words, normal Social Security and the disability Social Security, into one unified Social Security trust fund. Now, let's get the record straight. There is no trust fund. There is no money in it. It's all been taken by the government. It's like your kid went into your cash box that you've been putting money away for the last 40 years. Takes all the money out. And when you open up your cash box, you find a little piece of paper kind of ripped off one of those lined sheets and says, "Daddy, I owe you $30. That's what the Social Security Trust Fund is. Now, it may make sense on one hand to roll these two different Social Security funds together, but in reality, it is another government boondoggle waiting to happen. Anybody who has taken third grade math knows that the weakened financial condition of the disability fund, which basically is about to go broke in the next 3 to 4 years, which is why benefits will go down 17%, is going to weaken the tottering, stronger but tottering, normal Social Security fund. Let me give you an example. And by the way, they lie through their teeth about this too. Okay, I mean, there's some politicians that will be honest about it, and then there's others that lie through their teeth. They lie like rugs. So in 2008, they said a combined OASDI, the two funds combined, would make it until 2041. And then 2 years later, in 2010, they said, well, we're a little optimistic. Actually, they'd go broke in 2037. And this year, they're saying 2034. Well, if you go back and look at the trustees report back in 1999, they figured the disability fund, the same one that is now going broke next year, that's 2016, would be solvent until 2023. Whoops. Oh, I must have not had a battery in my calculator. It's not my fault. I just don't understand. There's like more people and less people working, and you know, I just didn't know. Yeah, okay. They really don't give a damn about you, folks. Have you gotten that message yet? Social Security is underfunded to the tune of 32%. That's in 2015. You know Detroit's pension plan? You know the big when Detroit went under and all the folks who were looking for their pensions had them cut in half or cut by two-thirds or in some cases eliminated. Social Security is underfunded by 32%. For comparison's sake, Detroit's pension plan, which is what brought that city to its knees amongst bad Democratic management for 50 years, was underfunded by just 20%. Does that give you an idea of the enormity of this problem that affects many, many, many of you listening, or is going to affect the rest of you who are listening? All right. You know, when Social Security was first instituted, it covered half the population. Teachers, nurses, librarians were all excluded from coverage. And the average life expectancy was 60. Today, as we know, Social Security covers everybody, including illegal aliens. Oh my God, another un-PC word. Illegal aliens and the refugees. You know, those ISIS guys we're bringing in the country and giving food stamps to. And the average American is living till 76. Those are some huge demographic and financial changes to a system that they acknowledged was going to go broke beginning at least in 1999. In 1960, 5 workers worked and paid in for every Social Security beneficiary. Now it's 3 workers for every beneficiary. 2 decades from now, well, if Hillary gets in, maybe 1 decade from now. 2 decades from now, there will only be 2 workers for every American receiving Social Security benefits. The widening gap of the money that's coming in and going out, I mean, you can see this, right? Is based on the initial rate for Social Security, folks, was 2%. That's what was taken out of a worker's paycheck. And now it's up to 12.4%, half paid by the employer and half paid by the employee. From 2% to 12.4%, lifespan greatly decreased from any and all projections, and the disability fund going broke next year. This is not a good thing. It's kind of like rising gas prices. Govern yourself accordingly. All right.